As we consider the words that we've sung, we see the evidence of your goodness. And as a result of that, we exalt you as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we stand together, we stand in one heart and one mind, simply asking you, Holy Spirit, to come into this place. We need you this morning. Would you speak to us, Lord, from your word, showing us your goodness and what you have for us for today, reminding us of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I said a few moments ago, that today's a little different day as we are going to be having our annual meeting in a little bit. And it is usually on this Sunday then that I share the theme and some of the thoughts for our hopes for this next year. And so we're going to be doing that once again this morning. And I love how the music has been about that kind of idea of God's faithfulness in the past and His goodness, knowing as we go into the future that He goes before us. And we've been marching through a series of themes over the past couple of weeks that, or past years, that have built on each other and bringing us to this 2024 theme. But I want to, for a moment, just kind of go back and remind us of the things that we've talked about in the past, where we have been with our themes and what they are leading us towards. If you remember in 2022, our theme for that year was engage. And what we were encouraging was to engage in God's Word, to engage in growth opportunities, to engage in ministries, to be a part of what's happening. Because one of the things that we find is as we engage, well, one, we connect better, but also we engage, we draw closer to God, and we grow in our faith. And even though 2022 is over, we're not in that theme anymore. Obviously, that is a continuation of life, would be that we continue to engage in those growth opportunities. Because when we engage in God's Word, when we engage with God's people, when we engage in ministry, we are transformed, which was our 2023, this last year, to be transformed by the Word of God, to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit, and to be made more and more into His likeness and into the image of our Creator God, that we would be able to say at the end of 2023 that we're not the same person as we were in the beginning of 2023. And that's really a good question that maybe I could ask you this morning is, would you say that you are the same person today that you were in the beginning of 2023? I hope not. Because that's the whole point of this, is as we are engaged in God's Word and engaged together, we would be daily transformed to become more like Him. So then the question really comes down to, okay, if we are to engage to be transformed, why are we doing these things? Which brings us to our 2024 theme, which is advance. The way that the pathway looks for this is that we engage in God's Word for the purpose of growth so that we could be transformed in order to advance the kingdom of God. I love this. And our theme for this year is actually going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And if you would take your Bibles, we're going to read a few verses out of Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. The words of Paul, and I think this is a great advancing passage to kick us off on and to be our verse for this year. And I would encourage you, if you haven't already done so, take some time, read through this over, memorize this for this year, because this is what Paul says. This was his heart for himself and for the church. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. That is an excellent verse for advance. Now the question has to come up, well, what does it mean? What are you talking about when you say advance? What does it mean to advance? Well, one of the things I need to say is when we start looking at this, the last 2 years of theme was more of an individual type of a theme for each one of us. Each one of us as an individual needed to engage in order to be transformed. But the reality, and you heard me say this in past weeks, what I do as an individual impacts how we are corporately. What I do as myself as an individual will impact how the church functions. Advance, however, while that does include an individual aspect to it, the theme for advance is actually a much more corporate, group-oriented theme. And when you look at what advance means, it actually is this. It is an intentional movement forward, determined. It is even an idea of this militaristic movement. It is purposeful, campaign-like, together, all in. You see, a church can't advance on just a couple of people. A church advances when all of God's people comes together and they are determined to move forward, as Paul said, to take a hold of the goal and the prize for which we are called. It's easy to get comfortable, isn't it? I know it's easy for me. It's one of those things where it's easy for us to say, you know, I really like where I'm at. I really, you know, it's like things are going well and we're really enjoying this time and so it would be really good, you know, let's just kind of bask in this glory that we have right now. Even the children of Israel struggled with comfort. Even in times when they didn't have comfort, you know, one of the things in Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites were out in the wilderness. They had left Egypt. They're wandering in the wilderness for the short time. And while they're doing this, all of a sudden, Pharaoh goes, "What were we thinking? Why did we let them go? That was our slave labor. Those were the people that were doing all the work. And we let millions of people just walk away." And so the Pharaoh says, well, we got to get them back. So he goes and takes off and he gets his army together and they're following the children of Israel, as you see up there. They come to the Red Sea, and we know this great story, but they come to the Red Sea, and what is the first thing that the Israelites do when they see the Egyptians coming? They complain. You know, sometimes I go, they were the best first church out there. Because every church follows behind that. You know, it's like they started to complain. The Israelites, this is what they did. They complained and they complained and they complained. And all throughout the book of Exodus, you see them complain. But they see this thing happen and they're standing there on the edge of the Dead Sea and Red Sea, and they're seeing this army behind them and they're just complaining. They're going, oh man, this is horrible. And what was their statement? Why didn't we just stay in Egypt? Why didn't we just stay where we were at least kind of comfortable? But then look at the words in verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" Because, well, by the way, Moses was then complaining himself. "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Tell them to move on. Tell them to get going. Don't let them stay there." And you could actually see in the reality of the situation where their thought was, we have a natural barrier of the sea right here, and we have an army right here. Where are we going to move? Where are we going to go? But God made it clear to Moses. He said, look, I've got the plan. I have the plan. That's what he even says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I really do love this verse because it gives us this understanding that no matter what the situation is around us, God has the plan. God has a good plan. God has a great plan, and He will accomplish this plan. And let me tell you something. If you look at that, you notice that a lot of the things that we see in Scripture are plans to advance. As a matter of fact, the psalmist, even in Psalm 32, verse 8, look at the words that he wrote. I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I love it. I'm going to teach you. I'm not just going to teach you so that you can fill your mind with all kinds of good information. I'm not just going to teach you so that you can be smart. I'm not just going to teach you so that you can be superior in intellect from everybody else. I'm going to teach you and I'm going to instruct you so that you can move forward. And understand that when you look at what Scripture says, it is almost exclusively pertaining to moving ahead. Moving forward, he comes to Abraham, and one of the things he says to Abraham, Abraham, get up and go. You don't just go to the place where I'm going to tell you, but go. What does he say to Joseph, Jesus' father, after he's born? Joseph, get up and go to Egypt. Then he says, get up and go back to Nazareth. Go. He's telling them to go. Paul, go. His disciples, go. The Great Commission to the whole church is to go. The purpose of the church is to advance the kingdom of God. That's why we have been placed here. So that leads us to the question of where are we to advance? Where are we to go? I mean, we have this building. What does it mean for us as a church to advance? Now, this is where we need to become intentional. And what I mean by that is we need to understand what it means to go, what it means to be a part of advancing the kingdom of God, because it is easy for churches to get busy. We talked about that actually a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the focus of a church. And one of the things that we find is that a church can find themselves with a calendar full of activities, a calendar full of events. Even to the, you know, it's like we got small groups on every night. We've got this going on. We've got that going on. We've got youth ministry. We got children's ministry. We got outdoor ministry. We got car ministry. We got quilting ministry and all these ministries. And we begin to boil it down to understanding that who are those ministries for? Us. I mean, I've had countless conversations with individuals walking up to me and saying, Pastor, we need to start this ministry. And one of my questions is, okay, so what is the purpose of this ministry? And oftentimes it is, well, because there's a group of us within the church with this common idea and this common set of things that we enjoy doing. And so it would be an opportunity for us to come together and to be able to have this thing. And what we do is we add another thing onto the calendar that is for us. And that's what Jesus was saying in Revelation. He goes, I know you guys are busy. You're doing all of these things. But you're having little impact. Paul says that his desire is to move forward and to take hold of the prize. So, what are we advancing for? Where do we advance? The short answer, as I've already said, we're advancing for the kingdom of God. But when we're looking of where do we go, a great passage is Acts 1:8. We go to Acts 1:8. You've heard this many times, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There we see the advancing of the church. It's a simple, here's what you're going to do. He says, you, as you go, go. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout the whole world. I don't want you to simply sit in your little church and get comfortable. I want you to advance the gospel, is what he's saying. I want you to take it beyond your walls and grow the kingdom of heaven as you go. Matthew 24:14, another great verse, It simply says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. See, this is the idea of advancing the kingdom. He's saying, look, you are going to take this gospel, this story, this word that I have given to you, and you're going to take it into all the world and to all nations. In Psalm 96, verse 3, the psalmist says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. Again, declare it to all the nations. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are his ambassadors. Now, again, we often take this as an ambassador as, okay, so I speak on God's behalf. But who does the ambassador speak to on their leader's behalf? You realize that ambassadors don't necessarily talk to their own people. You're not an ambassador of God if you're talking about God to somebody here in the church. That's not an ambassador. An ambassador is one that goes to a different culture, a different country, a different people group, a different nation, and they speak for their nation to another nation. So when he says, you are therefore Christ's ambassadors, what he's saying is simply this: we are to go out beyond our own walls to people who don't know Jesus Christ, tell them about Christ because they need to hear about Christ. They are lost. And understand that this is a lifestyle thing, not just an action. It's not just, okay, this week I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. No, when we're talking about advancing the kingdom, when we're talking about living this life of advancing, it is a lifestyle. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard us this, we bring it up a lot. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It says it simply this way. You advance by letting your light shine wherever you go. As you go, let the light of Christ shine within you. So where? Let's get a little bit even more practical. Let's kind of boil. What does this mean for us as a church? I mean, it's easy to talk about this in principle in what Scripture says, but what when we're talking about the church, what does this mean for us? Well, if we take the Acts 1:8 and we see what he says there, he says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, obviously, we need to bring the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to our community. That would be the first part. We need to look in within our community. Where are we going within our community? What are we doing within our community to bring Jesus Christ to the lost that are here? Understand, there are approximately 9,000 people that live here. There's not 9,000 people in this church. There's not 9,000 people in every church in Plymouth combined. You realize that probably about 80% of the people that live in Plymouth alone do not attend a church, let alone a life-giving church. There's work to be done in our own backyard. But he also says, look, beyond that, where do we go beyond that? Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. What is our Judea and Samaria? Now, here's one of the great parts of this. Over the past couple of years, a couple of years ago, we planted The Well up in Elkhart Lake. We've heard from them from time to time. He's come and shared. God's doing some really cool things up there. I mean, recently we heard an incredible story about a life that was changed that came out of pure darkness. And God is doing something incredible with that. We've been supporting them as a church for the last couple of years. 2024, we finish up our financial support for The Well Church. Now, one of the things that would be very easy to do is to say, oh, well, that's great. You know what? Let's just fold that money back into our own budget and we can do more things here at the church. We can have more ministries. We can do more things. But maybe the question we need to be asking is, where is God leading us to plant next? We have a year to come up with another place where God may be leading us as a church to plant, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where would that be? I don't know. Howard's Grove, Cedar Grove, Belgium, I don't know. But where is He leading us to advance the gospel beyond our walls, beyond our community, into a world that still needs to hear about it? And then Jesus even says, into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Where are the ends of the earth? Where is God leading us in that regard? Now, one of the things that I can say is, as a church, guys, you are incredible when it comes to giving to missionaries, to the mission field. I mean, you're going to see in the financials when we come to that, the blessing of this church to advancing the gospel across the globe is incredible. You're to be commended for that. But understand that missions, global missions, goes beyond the pocketbook. And maybe what it is God calling us to advance in some way as a church to go outside of our walls and across. Maybe it's a trip that we're going to send, or maybe it's a partnership with a location where we can have an impact for God on a long-term basis. Where could God be leading us to partner as a church, not just financially, but to actually be involved and to go? Our youth are looking at taking a missions trip this summer. They're in the early stages of planning it. It's getting put together and everything else. And you know what, mom and dad, some of you are sending your kids. Are you praying that God may call them out on that trip to serve Him full time in missions? See, it could cost. But you see, we're not just taking trips. We don't want to just take trips. It's this idea that we want to advance the kingdom. We want to go. We want to do whatever we can. And the question that comes is like, Pastor, why do you even care about this stuff? Why should we advance the kingdom of God? I'll never forget the conversation. It has stuck with me for the past years. Youth pastor came into my office one day, and he was just down. And he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, what's going on? He said, I've noticed, I know the heart of your heart and my heart and the heart of the church is that we would grow. We would grow the youth ministry. We want to see the kids. And he had this heart for kids to come in, and he was trying to, and kids were coming in and they weren't coming back. And he finally was getting so frustrated about this that he found out that friends that were being invited weren't coming back because they felt unwelcomed at the youth group. And so he sat down with one of the more, I don't know if influential, but one person who had some input into it and sat down with them and said, hey, here's where we're at and what's going on here? And the response broke his heart. We like our youth group exactly like it is. We don't want others to come in and change it. And as a result, what they were doing was they were making others feel uncomfortable, unwelcome, not wanted, and they were walking out our doors. And he's sitting there in my office, and both of us are grieving over this information that we just like it who we are. And I begin to think that. I'm like, wow. How easy it can be for us to be in that same position. Amen. Pastor, I don't want anything to change. You know, one of the things I've heard a lot about this church, we love this church. I mean, we love this church. We love being a part of this family. And again and again I hear, you know, this is like a family to me. It's this great opportunity. It's you know, it's a place where I feel welcome, and it's all of this. Now, here's my question. That's great, but will the next person walk in the door feel just as welcome? If a person walks in not looking like you and me, will they feel welcome? You see, this is what it means to advance. Are we willing to do what is happening? Why do we advance? Well, because a lot of people are dying and going to a Christless eternity. Understand, I heard one time that about every 3 seconds, someone in this world passes away into a Christless eternity. Every 3 seconds. Imagine that for just a moment. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says these words, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many be that enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few that find it." And as I read this, this is a passage that I don't like. Not because I think it's wrong. I don't like it for the truth that it brings. Broad and wide is the road and the gate that leads to destruction. Now, again, we can, oh yeah, you know, it's like destruction. It's bad. It's sad. But do we understand what that means? This is a place of torment. This is a place of weeping and of gnashing of teeth. This is not a comfortable place. This isn't like going to some tropical, warmer location. This is a place that Scripture even says is the eternal lake of fire. Now, some of you go, boy, I love a good campfire, right? I mean, when you're sitting close to a campfire and it's cold outside and you're like, this feels really good. But have you ever tried to sit in the campfire? Your attitude would change really fast. And this is what it says. This is where every 3 seconds somebody is going to this place. And we can have an impact on maybe some. Many are going to a Christless eternity, that's why. But another reason why we do this is because when we advance the kingdom of God, we experience victories at the hand of God. This is actually an exciting thing. I mean, the whole hellfire and brimstone thing, I know it's kind of it's a downer, I get it. But this is exciting when you think about this. When we engage in advancing the kingdom of God, we experience the victories. I heard it said once that there is no team that will ever win a game or get a victory if they never leave the locker room. Makes sense, doesn't it? If we don't leave, if we don't do something, we're never going to win the game. We're never going to experience those incredible things. I mean, you watch these football games that are going on and there's these plays that happen and you just sit there and you're like, what an incredible play that was. Now, can you imagine that guy said, you know what, I'm just going to sit in the locker room today. He wouldn't experience those victories. There's a great story in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus is sending out 72, and it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Go. He says, I'm sending you out. I want you guys to go in and start advancing the kingdom. And you're going to go into these towns, and he gives them a little bit of, here's a pep talk, go out as you do this. And they go out and they do that. But I love verse 17. They come back and they have this debriefing time. And look at what they say. They returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Could you imagine the excitement as they're going out? I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Okay? You're going out, you're going to experience difficulties. It's not going to be easy. Hard things are going to happen to you. You're going to struggle. People aren't going to listen to you. They're not going to like you. And what was the thing that they came back with? It was incredible. As we did what you asked us to do, we saw miracles, we saw healings, we saw this, we saw that, and even the demons submitted to us. Even the demons. This is a huge victory that they were experiencing. And this is a truth that we can take with us. As we advance for the kingdom of God, we will see and experience victories at the hand of God. And we'll receive the reward. People are dying. Yes, they are dying. We'll receive victories. But how incredible is it that we would receive the reward? Well, what is this reward? You know, the first thing that I often think about when I think of the reward at the end is just simply finishing the race. Now, I've never run a marathon. And in all honesty, I really don't have any desire to. But I have seen some of the endings of these. You know, when they're running in. Have you ever watched a person who runs a marathon or a race? As they come to the finish line, what do they do? Most of the runners, have you ever noticed something that is kind of common? They'll round that last corner and they don't slow down. As a matter of fact, you see them running even faster, as fast as they can. Sometimes they can't feel their legs, they can't feel their arms, they can barely breathe. They're stumbling as they're going along, but they are working as hard as they can to get to that finish line so that once they reach that finish line, they can throw up their arms, they fall on the ground, they start to weep, but they're excited for the joy of just simply crossing the finish line. Understand the joy that we will receive when we finish well. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. The words of Paul, I fought well. I ran well. I finished the race. You can see within him this joy of being able to say, I did my best. I did my best. But he also says in there, even though I finished the race, I've done my best, I'll receive the heavenly reward. He says it's the crown of righteousness that he will receive from God on that day. Now, imagine for a moment. I mean, you watch, we're going to have the Olympics coming up this year, and they do their games, they do their things, and when they come to the end, the winners stand on the podium, and everyone's looking at them, and everyone's cheering for them, and then someone walks up to them and puts the medal around their neck, and it's such a powerful moment for them. Now imagine for just a moment that you won an award of some sort for whatever reason, and there's that one person that you're sitting there going, oh, I would love to meet that person. They would be the person that would just be awesome. And that person walks out and they award you the award for what you've accomplished. I mean, how incredible would that be, right? But now imagine that you're standing before God and he holds in his hand the victor's crown and you hear him say the words of Matthew 25:23, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness. There would be no greater feeling, no greater reward than knowing that we have advanced the kingdom of God and we hear him say, well done. I can tell you the one thing I don't want to hear when I enter heaven is simply, hey, Pete, you made it. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear well done. And we hear well done when we advance the kingdom of God. So what does it look like to advance? What does it look like for us to advance? Well, quickly turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says these words, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When we see and we look at this, he says something that's very important. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. as we go forth and we advance the kingdom of God, this is going to be done through prayer and seeking the face of God, by setting our eyes on Jesus. Realize it's in the moments that we take our eyes off Jesus that we get off track, right? Peter, he was walking on water as long as he was looking at Jesus. But the moment that he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. As long as our eyes are on Jesus, you know what? He's the one who's advancing the train. And we get to join him in his advancing of his kingdom. And so we get to be a part of what he is already doing. We're going to advance with our eyes on him. We're going to advance together. As I said in the beginning, to advance is a corporate, it is almost a militaristic idea of all in, all going in one direction. We want to move as the body of Christ in one direction, and this is not the pastors and elders only. This is for the whole body. This is going to require all of us to move forward. In our annual meeting, I'm going to be sharing some things about moving forward. And they're significant, maybe even scary to some. But the great part of this is as we advance together and we advance for the kingdom of God, He will go before us. We are going to advance with purpose. We want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We want every week to be seeing someone coming in these doors that doesn't know Him as their Lord and Savior. One of the things that we're talking about potentially coming out this year is something called Project 365, which would be getting the gospel in the hands of someone every day of the year. That's a huge endeavor. But we want to see what God would do when we take those risks. We advance with purpose. We're going to be intentional in what we do. We're not just going to start small groups. We're not going to just start ministries because we want something for us. We want to be advancing the kingdom. Over the next several months, as a matter of fact, we're going to be unpacking this idea of advancing. What does it look like? How do we advance as a church? And we're going to be studying through the books of Deuteronomy and Joshua. I know you look at that and you go, what? Old Testament books? We're going to find things about advancing in Old Testament. Oh man, read Deuteronomy and Joshua. There are some incredible truths about advancing. And we're going to be looking at what those books talk about that. But we are called to advance. We're called to advance together. And I just want to simply ask you this question. Are you ready to go? We're heading forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You have called us as a church to advance the name of Jesus. And Lord, we want to be all in. I love how we have people here that are talking about You with others, that are bringing the name of Jesus, and we just want to keep going. We want to increase that. We want this to become a part of who we are. We don't want to be defined by a Sunday morning service. We want to be defined by kingdom impact. And Lord, as we advance together, we advance under the leadership of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we say, lead us in the way in which we should go, for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.